You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. I've got the picks straight up and against the spread for you there for week number 11, as well as my decider column, the start sits for week 11. We need to dive into all that projection stuff here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We have our double shot of matchup shows here for you. Matchup Wednesday, matchup Thursday. We'll talk about seven of the games, break them down in detail, both sides of the matchups for you today. Then we'll come back with the back seven all the way through Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. We'll start with Thursday Night Football, big game this week between the Cardinals and Seahawks. So a lot of good reality and fantasy stuff to look forward to there to kick off the week. So a lot of fun stuff to talk about today and tomorrow. Before we dive into Matchup Wednesday, I'm going to tell you this football season will be different. And Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi's a freshman. You need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passion fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, let's dive in here to the games of week number 11. The first one is a good one. It's the Cardinals and Seahawks. The Cardinals now in first place. The Seahawks are in third place. Both are 6-3 here in the NFC West. 57.5, 58 is the over-under, so we're expecting a lot of points. And the Seahawks are slight favorites at home here. This should live up to the expectations of being a high-scoring game, for sure. You have Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. These two dueled at an incredible level when they last met a few weeks ago. That's why the Cardinals have the tiebreaker here with that win in overtime. A little bit of a comeback there with Murray. We know what they did last week. They had a comeback with DeAndre Hopkins catching the beautifully thrown Hail Mary pass going up over three defenders of the Bills and scoring. So let's look at this for the Cardinals. I think it's pretty much start them if you got them game on their side of things. Let's look at where we like everyone. Kyler Murray still the QB1, I mean, he's taken over here. Russell Wilson was the guy, but with the running, the scoring there, and the big rushing totals that Kyler Murray's putting up, he's taken over as the number one fantasy football quarterback here. So he's locked into your lineup every week. He's high-end QB1 this week. Seahawks are the worst team against quarterbacks and passing offenses in the NFL by far. So not even a question there. He's good to go. You look at Kenny Drake and Chase Edmonds. I think both of them dropped to me to flex plays. That's the way I look at it. The Seahawks are pretty good against the run. They allowed three touchdowns last week to the Rams, but overall, that's their strength of the defense. You want to throw on them quite a bit. So Drake and Edmonds, we're not sure how the game script will go. Drake is a little touchdown dependent. Edmonds is a little bit passing game dependent. You figure there's room for both of those things to come to fruition here. So I'm going to temper my expectations, however, because of the matchup and the way the game probably be a lot of passing. So, again, flex plays for both of those. DeAndre Hopkins locked in as a wide receiver one. He was quiet in the first matchup. I think he'll get going here. Christian Kirk scored twice in the first matchup. He was quieted finally last week against the Bills when Hopkins was going off, and there was a lot of attention on Kirk as well to contain him for Kyler Murray. But Kirk locks in as a wide receiver three with some upside this week. Hopkins is a wide receiver one. Again, those flex plays for those running backs here of the Cardinals. Elsewhere, you can't really go here. You can't extend to Larry Fitzgerald. He's still not seeing enough volume to trust there. You're not looking at a tight end there for the Cardinals, and you're certainly not playing their defense on the road here against Wilson in a high-scoring game where both teams are well implied to go over 27 points here. Now, let's look at Seattle. Russell Wilson, he's your QB1. Great matchup. Josh Allen just to lit up the steam. He also scored on a reception there, so you feel good about Russell Wilson, you'll be happy that he has less turnovers in this game. It was an ugly mess last week against the Rams. He was one of the worst QBs in fantasy in week number 10. So you figure he'll rebound at home. Now, the backfield is the interesting situation here for the Seahawks. Now, we've been tracking the injuries here. Chris Carson's got some limited work with the foot injury, but as Pete Carroll suggested, Carlos Hyde is ahead. He's practiced in full with a hamstring. So what do we do here? I wouldn't be thrilled about a Carlos Hyde, Alex Collins, DJ Dallas split, so I'm going to hold out for Chris Carson. I think the Cardinals have been vulnerable against the run, but they really didn't face too much from the Bills last week and running the ball. So I think this is going to be more about throwing for Russell Wilson. So if Carson is in there, I think he's locked in as at least an RB2. I know he might see a little bit less workload, but that's the guy we really want. These other guys can only have limited success here. And if it's Hyde, Collins, and Dallas, then you're not sure who's going to get the key touches there in the red zone or in the passing game. So that makes it challenging as well. So again, if it's Carson, I like him as an RB2. If it's any of the others, I'm not trying to force them into my lineups last week. After the Collins-Dallas mess last week, Hyde can only throw that further into an issue here in week number 11. Now, receiving core, we got to watch this one. We've had Tyler Lockett has battled an injury here. Now, he's a guy that he's in train in the offense where he could miss two practices, get a limited work on Wednesday and be good to go. We'll still have to watch that status report, but be prepared that Tyler Lockett may not play. It would be a big blow here. That would obviously increase the targets for DK Metcalf. Metcalf has been quieted by the Cardinals. Patrick Peterson has been playing well, but last week you saw that both Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley went off against the Cardinals secondary. So I'm not too afraid about Metcalf having another bad game here. He's faster than Peterson. They're limited. I think he could see some of them, but you know the volume targets are going to go up here if Lockett is out. Lockett destroyed this team the first time. Again, the Cardinals just cannot cover the slot. They have real depth issues in the secondary, so Lockett would be in for a big game again if he played, and he's been quiet since his last big game against the Cardinals. But yeah, we'll have to watch that. I would expect David Moore to also be more heavily involved here. He's already been out there when they use 11 personnel with Lockett in the slot, but again, Moore should get more targets as well and a pretty good matchup for him against this secondary. John Brown did make some big plays on the outside as well opposite Diggs before he got hurt in that game. So Moore definitely has appeal as a streaming wide receiver this week if Lockett is out and you need to make that pivot early in the week against this team. Cardinals really struggling on the back end. So some issues we're going to navigate there. Metcalf locked in. I think he'll bounce back as a wide receiver one this week. You have Wilson as a QB1. Carson, if he plays, he's an RB2. And again, watch Lockett. He's a wide receiver one if he plays. But if he doesn't, I think you look at David Moore as a potential wide receiver three in this one, and you're going to avoid the defenses completely on both sides here, even with some playmakers in Seattle just not getting the job done with all their injuries. The first 1 p.m. game we'll talk about here is the Eagles and the Browns. This one is not expected to be a high-scoring affair. It's a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Browns. I barely like the Browns. It's more of a coin flip game to me. The Eagles, you never know what you're going to get. I don't really want to trust Carson Wentz. I like the matchup a few weeks ago, but last week against the Giants, I thought it was tough. Didn't like him at all. Didn't want to go there, even with the returning weapons, and it turned out to be true. Now, with the Eagles here, what you'll see is a lot of throwing to the tight end against the Browns because the middle of the field has been a weakness for Cleveland. You might have to get rid of the ball quickly here for Carson Wentz to avoid the pressure and all that that's happened here. Travis Fulgham I really do like this week. I don't love Jalen Reagor as much because I figure it's going to be get the ball quickly, work on the outside. So Fulgham should rebound. I know Reagor had the better game last week with more targets, but Fulgham is really their X, and X's don't disappear as much as Z's in certain matchups like this. So I expect a rebound game for Dallas Goedert and Fulgham here big time against the Browns to help Carson Wentz. I still don't like Carson Wentz to trust him here, especially if he's not running and scoring too much, delivering the touchdowns there. They did also run the ball in quite a bit. So I think the Eagles are going to lean more on Miles Sanders, Boston Scott. That's been their most successful here in the offense that really calms everything down. So playing off that, I see a little bit of Goddard and Fulgham, but not a big enough game from Wentz to like him as a QB1 this week. That's for sure. In two QB leagues, you can look at him, but not in a 12 teams or less here with your starting lineups. So Fulgham, again, I think more of a wide receiver 3 because of all the other weapons in there. Rieger just outside as a wide receiver 4. Dallas Goedert is a borderline tight end 1. I'm not going to Richard Rodgers this week. Miles Sanders, definitely there with his volume as an RB1. We need those touchdowns. I don't think you'll see Corey Clement and Boston Scott steal another one. Boston Scott could be looked at in deeper PPR if you need someone here this week, especially in a flex position. Not going with the Eagles defense. They've had multiple opportunities. They really only had 2 good games here all season long. Now let's look at the other side with the Browns. The Browns, I like Rashard Higgins a little bit in this game if you need him. I don't love Jarvis Landry in the slot. The Eagles have really shut down the slot better than we think here. They've got some better depth in the secondary. Darius Slay could see a little bit of Higgins as well, so that could contain Higgins on the outside. So Austin Hooper is probably going to be the most productive here. Again, Landry is a bit hit or miss. He hasn't done too much. I don't think he's going to see a high volume. I think you'll see a lot of Kareem Hunt in the passing game as well with Austin Hooper. Try to exploit those linebackers. Maybe we'll see even a few catches for Nick Chubb in this game. So Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, when those two guys are on the field, that's where this offense is going to flow through. You're not going to see a lot of passing there from Baker Mayfield. They're going to try to control the action. The game script's not going to get away from them. So, again, don't really love Higgins or Landry if you can go in a different direction. There's volume certainly could happen for Higgins and could get him productive here, but certainly not feeling great about it. And Hooper, again, we're hoping for the best. Last week also was a great matchup, but he was just coming back from the appendicitis, the abdomen injury, so maybe needed a little bit of time to get in there. And plus, you just had the Browns and windy conditions, run. So watch the weather, that's for sure, to make sure that this could not be a washout here for the entire passing game. For the third straight week, and that happened with the Browns and Raiders before the bye, then it happened to the Browns and Texans, so let's hope it doesn't happen to the Browns and Eagles. So we have some viability from the passing game on either side this week. All right, there's the first two games breaking down in full for you for week number 11. On this show, we still have 5 more to talk about, 7 more to talk about tomorrow. We got the exciting Falcons-Saints game that we'll be breaking down next here on the show. But before we dive into that, when it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. And Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. Echelon's world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. And right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's Echelon, Echelon, fit.com/NFL. They're introducing Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness here that you have to check out. Go check out Echelon right now, echelonfit.com/NFL, and you will get that chance to try the Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. We'll be right back here to break down the next wave of games from the 1 p.m. Eastern Time window, week number 11. All right, let's look at this game between the Atlanta Falcons and New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, a potential shootout here. We know the big development is Jameis Winston. So we'll start talking about the home team here. It's a 5-point favorite spread, so it's a little dropping for the Saints without Drew Brees at home. Jameis Winston starting, I think this is a good spot to start him immediately against the Falcons. Falcons, other than the Seahawks, are the worst team against passing teams this year. So Atlanta's actually pretty decent against the run. So might contain Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray a little on the ground, making Jameis Winston throw a little bit more. Jared Cook has a good matchup here as well, tight end. You could see some Taysom Hill in the passing game. Kamara keeps rolling in his role. Michael Thomas should be better. Emmanuel Sanders should be a little bit better this week as well as they get in the flow here. And Jameis Winston, the one thing he can do that Drew Brees can't right now is throw the ball downfield with confidence with his big arm. So that's going to help maybe stretch the field a little bit. And again, potential shootout this week with Matt Ryan on the other side. So Jameis Winston pops in as a back-end QB1 this week, that's for sure, just like Drew Brees would be. there if he was in this game. Jared Cook, certainly viable as a tight end one this week. Emmanuel Sanders, wide receiver 3. Michael Thomas, I'm going to put him at wide receiver 2. There's just a lot of mouths to feed at the moment. They're spreading the ball around, and we don't know the chemistry between Winston and Thomas. So I'm going to be modest about that. Alvin Kamara, we know, RB1. You can't go to Latavius Murray this week and go there. The Saints defense, I'm not going there either. They're not playing all that well, and I don't like their chances of stopping the Falcons. Now, Matt Ryan is a QB1 this week. It's very good for him usually against the Saints in these type of environments. It's a high over-under. He should be throwing quite a bit. The volume will be there. You could see some interceptions from Ryan and Winston for sure in this game, but I think you'll see more big plays. Calvin Ridley should play, return from the foot injury. He's done some running early in the week, so still has some time to get ready for this game. Their expectations, he should. He missed the game before the bye, then he had the bye, so you think he's in there. So Julio Jones locked in as a wide receiver 1. I think Calvin Ridley could also be considered a borderline wide receiver 1 in the top 12 this week if he plays, and I'm expecting he will right now. So Todd Gurley, I'm going to drop more to RB2 or flex here this week. He's just not someone you look at as much in a tough running matchup like this. The Saints have been absolutely dominant against the run. You're pretty touchdown dependent with Gurley. He gets those touchdowns quite a bit, and the Falcons will be in position to score, so keep that in mind. That's what you're going to get, but I would expect a big yardage day all around, as I would expect the Falcons at one point are going to spread the field and throw it around. So I like Russell Gage a little bit as a deep wide receiver 3 flex. I don't like Hayden Hurst as much this week. I know the tight end landscape isn't great, and you're probably going to be stuck playing him, but just keep in mind, when the Falcons have the 3 receivers healthy and they're spreading the ball around, I think you'll see less of a deal with Hurst. Keep in mind, in that Panthers game, Ridley was knocked out, Hurst was involved, and then they kept it going when Ridley missed the next game. But again, that we've seen early in the season, Hurst didn't produce when all 3 receivers were getting it done, and I see more of an 11 personnel type of throwing the ball situation for Matt Ryan this week. That's why Todd Gurley bumped down a little bit, and Hurst slightly off my tight end 1 radar this week for Atlanta there in this game. So, yeah, pretty easy to break down this one. A lot of points, should be a lot of fun, and James Winston should be a very adequate fill-in. I think he'll be a better one than we saw with Andy Dalton. That was a big disappointment replacing Drew Brees in that offense, or Dak Prescott in that offense. I think Winston will be a much better player here because he had a better offensive system overall, and Kamara and the weapons here are certainly going to get it done for him in different ways at different levels here for the Saints offense. The next game we'll talk about here on the schedule here for week 10 or week 11 I should say is also involving a NFC South team. It's the Panthers at home against the Lions. This one could be a sneaky fantasy football fest. Let's start looking at the Lions. DeAndre Swift, he's locked in as an RB1 for you. And he's finally getting the touches we thought he could at some point over Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson. Took long enough, but he could be a league winner down the stretch here, that's for sure. He's got a big role here with the Lions. If you stashed him and waited for this opportunity, he's here. He's arrived. He's getting the ball ahead of those guys. And the Panthers are an excellent matchup, just like Washington was. You can run all over the Panthers here. That's what the Lions should do. That's what they want to do here to take pressure off Matthew Stafford. Now, Stafford keeps getting the job done with different guys. So I like Marvin Jones this week. I'm not extending to Marvin Hall. Marvin Jones, TJ Hawkinson, as long as Kenny Galladay is out, which is the expectation here with the hip injury, for one more week. That's definitely seeing that. We saw Matthew Stafford get banged up a little bit, but I think he'll get you the 250 and 2. That's for sure, playing off Swift. And Swift is also a factor scoring out of the backfield as a receiver. So that's also going to help Stafford in this game. So Stafford, like him as a back-end QB1 this week. I like DeAndre Swift as an RB1. Marvin Jones Jr. as a wide receiver 3 with upside. TJ Hawkinson as a tight end 1 easily in this one. And if you want to look at the Lions defense, you could. It's a bit of a stretch this week to me on the road. But they do have some playmakers, and the Panthers could make some mistakes here if they get blitzed. But on the Panthers side of things, I do like Mike Davis to rebound. Christian McCaffrey missing another game with a shoulder injury. So Mike Davis should be locked in here for some good volume and better production. The Lions are pretty awful. We saw what they did wilting against the Washington backs, both as runners and receivers last week. So Mike Davis, I think he gets into that RB1 situation here that he didn't get to last week. I like DJ Moore to keep it going. The Lions do give up some big plays in the passing game. We saw Terry McLaurin burn them a little bit. So Robbie Anderson, I think, finally has a nice game. So less of this Curtis Samuel experience experience, they got to throw the ball down the field. And you can do that against the Lions with your principles here. So I could see some of Samuel because of McKissick's success last week. But, again, I would more trust more in Anderson to make big plays in this game. Teddy Bridgewater, we'll see. They said he's day-to-day with the knee strain. I would still expect he suits up here instead of P.J. Walker. So they didn't seem too concerned about it. But P.J. Walker, we saw, had some chemistry with D.J. Moore. So Moore and Anderson, certainly they're locked in as wide receivers. I think they're both wide receiver twos this week, given the matchup. Davis is a RB1. I would avoid Teddy Bridgewater. I just don't love the way he's playing right now. I think he can do better this week. And if he's got knee injury, you don't know if he's going to aggravate and all that. But, again, I'm safer with the wide receivers and the running back for the Panthers this week. I'm certainly not going to roll the dice with the Panthers' defense, as they've been awful here in recent weeks, as kind of wilting against run and pass at this point in 2020. The next game we'll talk about here is the Patriots and Texans. Now, the Texans really had their way with the Patriots last year, so they are a team that can knock off the Patriots, that's for sure, with their passing ability. But the biggest problem right now with the Texans is their weakness doesn't bode well for them in this game, because the Patriots are all about running right now, not just Damien Harris, but also Rex Burkhead. They might have Sonny Michel back for this game. We know Cam Newton is a big factor in the running game. So Texans' front is just terrible against the run. They wilt. They're not very good at all. We saw what Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb did against his front. So you're going to see relentless running by the Patriots to control the clock here, keep Watson off the field. It all lines up pretty well for them. So I like Cam Newton. I think he's going to get 50 yards on the ground and a score, maybe a score through the air as well. Jacoby Myers might see a little bit of Bradley Roby, but not too scary. They move Myers around here. He's going to get some good volume. There's a chemistry there between him and Cam Newton. So Jacoby Myers keeps the beat going on here as a wide receiver three. I like Damon Harris as an RB1 with the volume. Rex Burkhead, you can look in deeper leagues as a flex play. Not going James White, not getting a lot of action here of late. But Cam Newton certainly comes in as a QB1 this week. Not playing the Patriots defense, because I think the Texans can light it up. This over-under is pushing towards 50 in this game, so we're looking at a pretty high-scoring affair between the Texans and the Patriots. Deshaun Watson on the other side, he's a QB1 for sure. The Patriots' secondary is kind of slow. They're giving up more action, and keep in mind, in the end, Lamar Jackson did have good numbers against the Patriots last week. So Deshaun Watson, I like. You might see a little bit more attention with Will Fuller this week. But if Stephon Gilmore misses another game, which is a strong possibility, that certainly helps Fuller. And Fuller has to be in your lineup every week just because he's that talented and he's the go-to guy for an elite quarterback. And, again, he can always get open and for a big play. Brandon Cooks, the former Patriot, a little bit of revenge on his mind here, but he should be effective in the short passing with the ball off to him, especially if the attention crashes to Fuller. I'm not extending to tight end. Now, Duke Johnson, I guess you're going to play him just by volume here. It was disappointing against the Browns in a so-called revenge game last week. I think he just has to be involved with checkdowns at least. So I would say he's the third target behind those two guys, Fuller and Cooks. Tight end is kind of faded here for the Texans, so a lot of runs and checkdowns for Watson there, dump offs to Cooks. I don't see a lot here from Fuller being contained, maybe not making the big plays. He can still end up with a touchdown, however, and still that's why he plays for you every week. All right, there's three more games we'll talk about here on the Week 11 Matchup Wednesday show. We still have two more to talk about to close the show, then seven more, don't forget, tomorrow on Matchup Thursday. By the time we're all done, we'll have every game broken down for you in detail here. We also look at the gambling side of things. That's what we do. No-nonsense fantasy football talk. Before we get into those final two games on this show, I got to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever, and now the improved Built Bar is even delicious-er. There are six new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If those all sound like desserts, that's how good Built Bars are. They're protein bars that treat you like desserts. All the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew from Built Bar. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for anyone on a keto diet. No, just take the flavor profile of their cookies and cream. 17 grams protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams sugar, only 4 grams net carbs. You can't beat that. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes delicious and is going to power you through your day. And also tastes great with no aftertaste and 100% chocolate melt in your mouth. Now, you can get it on Built Bar right now by using the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. You'll get 20% off your next order. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back here to break down the Steelers-Jaguars game and the Bengals-Washington game. All right, let's continue. We'll look at two more 1 p.m. Eastern Time games. We still have one more to talk about. We'll get to that tomorrow. That would be the Titans and Ravens, so we'll save that. A little bit more of a marquee game for tomorrow before we get to that and dive into the 4 p.m. Eastern Time games and the primetime games to close the week here with matchups of Locked On Fantasy Football. Steelers-Jaguars. Let's look at this one. The Steelers are 10-point road favorites here. It's 46.5, so pretty low total here implied for the Jaguars. And you'd expect that. The Steelers' defense is awesome here. Now, let's look at their offense. Ben Roethlisberger, definitely QB1. I think Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Deontay Johnson all locked in as wide receiver twos with wide receiver one upside. I think that's almost going to be the case every week because this team is going to throw more and more. Eric Ebron sneaks in as a back-end tight end one this week with this matchup. I know he didn't come through last week, but again, I think they'll spread it around a little bit more even to give Ebron some love in this one. But yeah, the way they're using Johnson, Claypool, and Juju Smith-Schuster now is ideal. They're getting them all the ball in key situations, kind of like what the Cowboys are, but much more effective at this point because they still have their starting quarterback getting it around here, and they're also not running the ball all that well. And James Conner, you got to stick with him. This seems like a game where he might turn things around with the volume. The Jaguars are pretty bad against the run, but I think they're worse against the pass. So don't be surprised if James Conner is a little bit of a disappointment again this week because, again, Steelers are pretty much realizing what they have with their receivers and Big Ben and throwing down and Ebron in the mix as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers relentlessly throw in this game to give the Jaguars no chance to win it. Now, on the Jaguars side of things, I think there's going to be some garbage opportunities. We saw T. Higgins had a nice game last week against the Steelers, so I can see DJ Chark having the same game on the outside this week for the Jaguars, especially with the Steelers probably having a big lead and maybe giving up some garbage late in that game. And Higgins got open pretty consistently, so I do like Chark. Maybe some people might be off him, but I think he'll be involved with Jake Luton this week and make up for last week's game where on the outside they didn't have a lot of success against Green Bay, even though there's no Jaire Alexander. I think overall the Steelers' two outside corners, Steven Nelson and Joe Hayden, are a lot weaker here. So at some point you'll see Chark put up some decent production here, especially if Laviska Shenault misses another game and has to be the high target monster for Jake Luton. James Robinson, the one thing about James Robinson, I know the matchup is really tough and the schedule looks tough going forward, but there was a development there for the Jaguars last week that was kind of maybe underlooked here, that you had Chris Thompson going injured reserve with a back injury. That means they're going to throw to Robinson more, so he can make up for the production there in the running game. If he doesn't get a touchdown in this one, he's going to get involved in the passing game. He's just too good. He's just too much of a centerpiece of their offense with massive volume of touches. He really hasn't had more than one, quote, bad game this year. So you got to stick with him. I know it could be a little tough sledding, but the receiving definitely on checkdowns could help him later in the game put together a very nice day, even if he doesn't find the end zone this week. So Chark and Robinson, that's really only where you can go with this Jaguars offense at this point. And the Steelers defense in a really good spot playing rookie Luton on the road. The final game that we'll talk about on this show is the Bengals traveling to the Washington football team. The Washington football team, slight favorites in this one, leaning towards pick. I actually do like the Bengals to go into Washington and win. It's Joe Burrow versus Chase Young. So, interesting matchup there of two rookies, the number one overall pick, the number two overall pick. Again, I like Joe Burrow in this game. You look at Washington's recent body work. They started out well against the pass, but could have been more of a product of who they were playing, where you've seen some legitimate passing games with Matthew Stafford last week, put up some numbers. We know Joe Burrow is going to throw a lot. We'll see about Joe Mixon. I think he could have a little tougher time against this Washington team, but again, Washington's defense has not been all that of late. So I do like Joe Burrow. I like T. Higgins. He's locked in every week as a wide receiver two with upside. Same thing with Tyler Boyd. I think he bounces back this week. So Boyd and Higgins, definitely playable this week. A.J. Green, pretty much off the radar. Higgins has basically taken over Fort Green is the primary number one outside target here for Joe Burrow. So, again, I think Higgins should almost be in your lineup every week. Boyd is a little bit more hit or miss in the slot as Higgins has made more plays and become more confident as the go-to guy outside as a fellow rookie for Burrow. But, again, Boyd still has a pretty strong floor here. Higgins has a nice ceiling. So those two guys should be in there to help Joe Burrow get to his good day. Again, we'll watch Mixon. The foot injury has been troubling. He hasn't been able to get back on the field. But they're starting to feel the effects, kind of like the Panthers did without Christian McCaffrey, that there's a drop-off. They tried to work in some HP Ryan with Gio Bernard last week in a tough matchup against the Steelers. So Joe Mixon hopefully returns because I think he can be effective in this game against Washington, that's for sure. And we've been waiting for him to have an impact. He's had that one monster game and pretty much nothing else here that we've seen from Joe Mixon in 2020. Again, the Bengals defense, you could look at them. Alex Smith, however, is on the other side, so that really hurts the chances, really trusting a defense. It's not Kyle Allen or Dwayne Haskins with their inexperience. Alex Smith can light things up here, so interesting battle that we're seeing develop. Alex Smith on the other side, we thought it could be Haskins versus Burrow, the Ohio State battle. Instead, we get this battle with the veteran and the rookie here this week. Terry McLaurin's locked in. Antonio Gibson is your RB2. McLaurin as a wide receiver 2. And J.D. McKissic is a wide receiver or running back 2 or flex in deeper leagues this week, especially in PPR with his usage here. So can also look at Logan Thomas. The Bengals are pretty vulnerable against the tight end. So a lot of this passing game is going to flow through McLaurin, Thomas, and McKissic, and Gibson certainly is going to get the ball often in the running game and be the choice near the goal line as well for Washington this week. And Alex Smith, if you need him, you could do a lot worse than a streaming quarterback in deeper leagues or DFS play. I do like Burrow a little bit better, but again, Smith definitely comes into conversation. Two QB leagues, he's playable. Deep dart throw in a lot of fantasy DFS formats, certainly cheap option there to look at if you're going bargain basement at quarterback this week. So there you have it. There's a look at seven games, the first seven, so to speak, on the week 11 NFL schedule from a fantasy football perspective. We've got that full breakdown for you here. We got more full breakdowns coming tomorrow as we take care of the lone 1 p.m. Eastern time game we have left. Then we get into 4 o'clock and what's good there on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. So by the time we're all said and done, like we do every week, we break down every game for you in depth. That's what we do at Locked On Fantasy Football, get you the information you need in and out here throughout the week in our little progressive podcast. And we'll end up on lineup Friday this week, as usual, looking at the DFS selections there for DraftKings and FanDuel. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. Now tell your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.